Philippians chapter 2, if you're physically able to stand with me. I'm going to read a portion of this chapter, and then we're going to have a little chat tonight. Philippians chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Our Father, we're so thankful tonight and for this time of the year, and we'll certainly at Thanksgiving time be around some people that we're not around on a regular basis, and gathering and feasting and doing a lot of things. And I hope and pray that everything that we do, first of all, would bring glory to you. And I pray, dear God, that we'd take advantage of the opportunities we have during the holiday season to be able to take the time to be able to not focus so much on ourselves, but to be able to focus on other people. I thank you for those who've come out. Thank you for the safety you've given your people tonight. Thank you for those that are traveling. I pray you'll be with our pastor and his family, wherever they may be here tonight. And then meet with us in a very special way. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings. I pray you'll take me now, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The Apostle Paul obviously was a great Christian that really loved the local church. And he writes to the church of Philippi, one of the churches that Paul had been working with. And in chapter number 1, he expressed the importance of this church, that every member of the church ought to have a submissive mind. Paul says, look, when it comes to the local church and the work of God, you have to get people of all walks of life, though we have different personalities, we're different people, but we come together, and because all honor and glory should go to him, we ought to have a submissive mind, that every person ought to be focusing on getting somebody else saved. So in chapter 1, he talked about this submissive mind, and he talked about the fact of the church working together in the unity. In chapter 2, he deals with every member of the church to have, chapter 1 was a single mind. In chapter number 2, he talks about the submissive mind. Now here's what he's saying. He said, if a church is single-minded, then all the attention of all the people ought to be on those outside of the church to get them saved. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. Then once they are saved, if we have a submissive mind, then the people who are now saved in the church ought to have a submissive mind to help serve other people. And this is the idea that Paul is writing here to the church of Philippi. And then he talked about, he gets to chapter number 2 and verse number 3. He talks about the fact, he says in chapter 2, verse 3, let each esteem other better than themselves. You know what I'm finding out? The older I get and the more people I'm around, and it seems like we're around people all the time, and lately we've been around a lot of people that's older Christians who've been around for a while and the different churches you've gone to, you find out that it seems like the longer we live, for some reason, the more we focus on ourselves rather than focusing on other people. God never saved us, put us in a local church for us to focus on ourselves. We've almost come to the point in life today in churches, and I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about Christian people, where we are so focused on ourselves, we think selfishness has become the Christian virtue. And that's contrary to the Word of God. And we find ourselves doing this all the time. So Paul here writes back, and trying to get the church of Philippi at the same place he's trying to get every church today. Look, if you are a single-minded Christian, a single-minded church member, if you are a submissive-minded person, you're going to have a twofold goal in life. I remember when we were up the street there for those 10 years, back in the days when you used to have styrofoams to put your themes across, and we had across the front of that little foyer there, the thought, we exist as a church for a twofold purpose, for the glory of God and for the good of other people. And I got to thinking, I've been thinking the last day or so about preaching and thinking about Thanksgiving. You know, we are a blessed people. Let me remind you of the greatest blessing you've ever received in your life, to be saved. To know that heaven's your home and God's your Father and Jesus your Savior, the Holy Spirit your Comforter. You have a Bible here to be able to read and live by, a church together. We are a blessed people. And God says that I want to bless my people because I want my people to be a blessing to someone else. So when I think about Thanksgiving, I'm overwhelmed with the fact that I serve a good God. God's a wonderful God. And by the way, I have no right as a born-again child of God, one who's been given the privilege to be a part of the church of God, to focus on myself. I've been given all of this to show the world how good God is. And I want to challenge us with this thought for a few moments here tonight. An attitude we ought to have toward others during this Thanksgiving season. Think about whatever you're going to do Thanksgiving Day, whatever you're going to do tomorrow. We don't have church tomorrow night. We're having tonight. We're going to get on the road, some people. Some are going to travel. You're going to have some family members you haven't seen for a while. You're going to have some other people over. You're going to be in the malls. You're going to be someplace. And the idea ought to be, I'm a child of God, blessed by my great God, and everything that I do this Thanksgiving season, whether it's in the mall, whether it's with my family members, around lost people, I want my life to bring glory to God, and I want to do something for the good of somebody else. And this is what Philippians chapter 2 talks about. So I want us to think about some things, and I'm going to go through this very quickly here, and I want to challenge you with an attitude that every Christian person ought to have during this Thanksgiving season. I mean, when you sit down to eat, whoever you're around, whether it's a large group or a small group, we ought to have an attitude that motivates me and stirs me. And if I need something to help me, think about how good God is. All right, here's an attitude that I think every Christian ought to have about Thanksgiving, and we're going to have once a year. We get together. You're around people that you don't have on an everyday basis. What am I doing? Am I caught up on what pleases me? Am I going to spend time arguing about what I want to eat, what I want to have? It's me. Or am I going to understand that whoever's around me was put there by Almighty God, and I've got to show them something through me that I got from him? And here's several things. Here's an attitude from the book of Philippians and a few other thoughts here. An attitude that we ought to have toward other people during this Thanksgiving time. He begins in verse number 1 and 2. Very quickly, he says, if, and the word if there literally is talking about since. Okay, since you have this consolation, which is incentive, you have this consolation in Christ, you have this comfort that of love, and you have this fellowship of the Spirit, and you have this compassion of love. So I've got this comfort, I've got this communication with the Spirit, I've got this compassion. All of this is put in me because of what the Lord has given me and saved me. And then he goes on to say in verse number 2, he says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. And notice this, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Here's the first thing I ought to share with everybody that I come in contact with No matter how I feel about them, no matter what I think about them, I need to have an attitude of love. Every Christian can show love because of the incentive I have that doesn't come from my flesh, doesn't come from how I feel. It comes from the fact that the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I can't say I can't love because the Holy Ghost allows me to love. The love that I have is not a feeling love. It's a love that's been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Therefore, when I have that cranky family member that grabbed the wing when I wanted it, it's an opportunity for me to show them the love. My incentive came from God. I think sometimes we forget once we got saved, we got something that came inside of us. Someone came to live in us. And therefore, he says, I ought to be able to show love. Paul said, the incentive that motivates me and stirs me didn't come from my flesh. It didn't come from how they treated me. It came from the love of God that was shed abroad in my heart. When I could love, God gave me the ability to love. And in every situation, I want to show anybody who's around me, I'm so thankful to God Almighty that he showed me how to love. Now, if that love is demonstrated in my life, two things will help me this Thanksgiving. I will focus on the good of people and forget about the problems they may cause me. You realize if you love somebody, you can look for something good in them. And all that you thought was bad all along, which may be true, you can forget it if you share the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts. So my attitude ought to be an attitude of loving other people who may not be easy to love. How many would be honest enough to say you're probably going to come into contact with somebody, don't say it's a family member, this thing is on live stream, and they may have, you figure you're probably going to eat with someone or talk with someone or work with someone the next couple days that you're going to have a problem with. Yeah, okay. I see everybody mutter. All right? Well, God says, when I save you, I put some love in your heart. And if you let that love be demonstrated toward other people, you will focus on good and forget the bad. Wouldn't that be a great way to enjoy Thanksgiving? Looking for good in somebody, forgetting the problem they may have caused, because you're sharing with them the love that God has shed abroad in your heart. So one thing we have to do if we're thankful, we need to learn to love other people. He said in verse number 3, he talks about, let each esteem other better than themselves. All to live my Christian life with a very humble mind and a very helpful motive. My reasons for being around you is to be helpful and show the humility that God put in my heart when he saved me. Andrew Murray says this, humility is that grace that when you know you have it, you've lost it. When you go around telling somebody how humble you are, that's a good sign that you're not humble. But if you go around loving somebody, and if you love somebody, you'll live for someone, and you'll show, if you have humility, you'll look for an opportunity to be helpful. He says in verse number 4, he goes on to look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. We not only need to love others, we need to live for others. We need to look out for other people.
We need, if I'm going to look out for other people, look not every man on, verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I've got to come to point, I've got to realize something. If I'm thankful, and by the way, everybody in here tonight who's saved, you have something to be thankful for. Makes no difference if you don't have a turkey. Makes no difference if you don't have a ham. Makes no difference if you don't have a lot of money. If you have Christ living in your heart, the love of God has been shed abroad. He puts us in a position where I ought to live for other people and ought to go about looking out for other people. Why? God has made me avoid selfishness and brought me to a point in my life where I am selfless. May God help us to stop being so selfish and talking about being saved at the same time. Thanksgiving ought to, a lot of people at least who are not even close to being where they ought to be spiritual, at least are thankful at Thanksgiving time. And then you realize that God puts us in a position where we have an opportunity to show people who He is by how we love and how we live for others and how we look out for others. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, don't turn there. Remember the great passage we use in missions all the time where he talks about the churches of Macedonia, how in great poverty deep poverty and great affliction, how they showed the church of Corinth and all of us today how they could be unselfish and sacrifice for the sake of other people. If we're going to have an attitude toward other people at Thanksgiving time, we not only need to love people and live for others and look out for others, but we need to learn from other people. You know, let's not get to the point that we don't understand that God allows people to teach, like we're teaching and preaching tonight, that we might learn. God raises up people who go through things in life, maintain a good testimony, so we can learn from them. God gives people the talent, like the people we're singing here tonight, for us to be able to learn something from it. May God help us this Thanksgiving to learn something from somebody who's demonstrating to the world how thankful they are for what God has done in their lives. So we need to learn from other people. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he talks about teaching other people. And he says, we need to listen to other people. When you sit down this Thanksgiving, don't do all the talking. Listen, because listening shows the other person that they're important. And what they have to say is important. So if I'm going to really, really, the incentive, but I don't feel like it. That person talks all the time and doesn't make any sense. It's not about me and what I feel like. I've got an incentive that moves me and motivates me and stirs me to listen that I might learn, and I'm going to listen to their conversation, and yes, I might even listen to their counsel. You know, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Oftentimes we think only what we think or say is important. But thankful people who are thankful to be saved and thankful to be used of God learn how to listen to other people. In Galatians chapter 6, it talks about bearing one another's burdens. If we're thankful people, we not only need to love others and live for others and look out for others and learn from others and listen to others, we need to learn to lean upon others. I don't know if I've known a time in the years of being in the ministry where I've seen more God-fearing, godly people have more trials and situations to go through. God says, I gave you an incentive to be able to learn when you're going through something in life. Learn to lean on other people. When they have trials, you have somebody that goes through it with you. Learn to trust people and to be able to help and listen to what they're doing. I'm thankful to know that there are people in the Christian walk that you actually can have a little confidence in their prayers. And by the way, that's a good reason to have a good prayer life that's real, because it's not so much that you can get what you want, but you have a good enough prayer life with somebody have enough confidence to ask you to pray for them. This is free. Have you ever gone through something in life and there's just some people you just don't ask to pray for you? It's not a good position to be in for a thankful Christian who's had the blessings of God. You want people to be able to come to you and say, I know you walk with God, and I know you get a hold of God, and I know that you are praying prayer warrior. And they want to pick up the phone and call you and say, I want you to pray for a particular need. That's the way God structured his church. And we have an opportunity right now. If the average church member would take a few moments and look beyond your own situation and listen and learn and watch out, you find somebody that needs to be able to lean upon you. But we're so busy and so caught up in so many other things, we don't have time for other people. Learn to lead other people. If God gives you an opportunity, you may have an opportunity this Thanksgiving. First of all, to show some exhortation, sit down with somebody and tell them something they're not going to find in the world. They're not going to find on their job. And the greatest teacher is not what I say. The greatest teacher is the example somebody can see in me. May God help us to be good examples during this Thanksgiving season, that other people can look at us and know that we are the kind of people that walk with the Lord, that when they say something by exhorting, their life back it up by an example. After all, Paul said God gave an incentive to us, the comfort of the Holy Spirit and what we have in Jesus Christ, and the compassion of mercy, not just for ourselves, but to use for other people. I can't think of a greater time than this Thanksgiving season. And we go on, several others we could talk about. Lift up others. Instead of running down people, the Bible says, let another man praise thee and not our own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips, in Proverbs 27:2. Find somebody to lift up. Stop looking for all the attention of ourselves and find somebody else that you can lift up and compliment and be a blessing to. Learn to lament with other people. When one suffers, another suffers. All of us have the opportunity. And then I think of another thing that we can do. Learn to be loyal to people. You have a friend, be a friend. If someone is trusting you, don't let them down. After all, I'm here for the glory of God and the good of other people. And then lastly, after we learn to love and live and look out and lean upon and lament with and lift up, labor this Thanksgiving season to win other people to Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. May our example, may our listening, may our learning, may our love, may our looking out, leaning upon, whatever it is, may it all comes together, that somebody, whether it's a family member, a friend, a coworker, or just somebody you meet in the grocery store or the shopping center, can see something in you and something in me that will give us the opportunity to tell them about the Jesus who made the difference in our lives. You want to have an attitude this Thanksgiving that's going to be worth a lot more than how much turkey we eat, or how much ham we eat, or how much many candied yams we're going to eat, or how many collard greens we're going to eat, or how many whatever else you eat. How about, let's do this. God, give me an attitude. Whatever I do this Thanksgiving season, may first of all, it bring glory to God. And may the incentive because of the love that shed abroad upon my heart, so move me and stir me that I will love others, live for others, look out for others, lament with others, lift up other people, lean on other people, learn from other people, and most importantly, help me to look out for the souls of other people. After all, I'm thankful that my great God saved my soul, put me into a good church, gave me a good family. The Holy Spirit came to live in my life. God gave me a Bible to read and learn and listen to. Help me not to be so selfish that I think only about myself, but help me to take the opportunity to use it to be a blessing to other people. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, thank you for the incentive you gave us when you saved us. We are fleshly people. It's so easy to think about self. We're going through our time of Thanksgiving where we'll have family, friends, co-workers, other people that we'll be around. And help us, I pray, to bring honor and glory to you in everything that we do. But help us to be such an example. Help us not to allow how we feel, how we think, what's going on in our lives. That's not what motivates us. The incentive to do what we need to do, like show love and look out and lean upon and all of that, comes from what you've done in our hearts and lives. Thank you for what you do, what you will do in our lives. Now help us to be a thankful people. And may it be demonstrated and shown to other people. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.